Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. According to the American College of Sports Medicine's fitness trends list for 2015, exercises that incorporate your own body weight, like lunges, squats, planks, and push-ups, are all the rage these days, or so they tell me. Why? Well, you don't really need any equipment to do them. So it's convenient. It's a very user-friendly way, a back-to-basics approach to fitness. Are you looking to beef up your fitness and wellness routine? You want to shed a few pounds, up your energy level? Well, we've got some experts in the studio today who can help guide you. Ian Hogan and Caleb Nelson own Purebred Athletics in Clifton Park, New York. And that's not for dogs, right? That's for people? Okay. Ian is the wellness half of this dynamic duo. He's a licensed massage therapist specializing in myofascial release, neuromuscular therapy, and sports massage. Caleb is the fitness half. He's a CrossFit expert. CrossFit, also very popular these days, personal trainer, and has more fitness certifications than you can shake a kettlebell at. He's currently at the strength coach with St. Rose, the women's soccer team. And to join today's discussion, call 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post your comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio, where you will see a Vox Pop post. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Radio. Just use the hashtag Vox Pop. Or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. But we do love your calls, 1-800-348-2551. Ian and Caleb, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
So
Purebred, definitely for people.
Definitely. Yeah, you're not cross-training dogs.
Nope.
No, good. Good.
People ask all the time, though.
So, yeah, this is whole fitness business, very popular activity, especially right at the beginning of the year. And then people tend to sort of, those who are not committed, sort of fade away on that. You know, it occurred to me in the green room when we were talking about this that NPR and public radio in general tends to skew a little bit older in audience most of the time. So I thought maybe we could start, before we get to the calls, talking about great ways that older people, not necessarily, you know, with 112 years old, but my age, 50 and above, maybe they've been spending too much time on the couch for the last couple of decades, and they want to ease back into it. What's a good way to do that and not drop dead?
I mean, something simple. If you don't have maybe, you know, the financial means to go out and get a personal trainer off the rip, just getting up and moving a little bit. Go for a stroll around your park. If you haven't done any exercise in a while, something is better than nothing. So, you know, trying to change your mindset about movement and activity, just that very basic step like that is a great movement in the right direction, especially if they don't want to commit that kind of money or to either join a gym or do anything like that. At least, you know, maybe you start to develop a habit, and then
walking is good exercise.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a crazy thought, right?
Yeah, and as a strength coach for St. Rose, what sort of regimen do you have them on?
Oh, so with them, we're going to be doing a little more weightlifting.
But you don't want to be too muscle-bound if you're in a real movement-oriented sport, right?
With that, we focus a lot on cross-training type of things.
Okay, now what is cross-training?
Cross-training, you think of implementing multitude of facets of fitness. So you're not just going to lift a bunch of heavy weights. You need to be doing things like sprints and things like burpees and other body weight movements that we kind of discussed before. Maybe doing some jump roping, using other tools like kettlebells, box jumps, incorporating plyometrics, things like that. Especially when you tap into the sports realm, you need to address a lot of things that they're not necessarily going to be able to anticipate, because especially something like soccer, there's a lot of change of direction. You need to be strong in some capacity. They need to have good cardiovascular fitness. They need to have great core strength. So
core strength being your abdominal muscles?
Core, yeah. For at least for my purposes, I like to think of anything really more from maybe about the waist and the hips all the way up to about the shoulders, that central region. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes core gets misunderstood and then kind of inappropriately trained at times. You know, obviously you want to have your abs really strong, and who doesn't want to have a great looking six pack? But as a whole, you know, that it also incorporates, in my opinion, the low back and the hips and the glutes, the shoulders. You want to have that whole central region, especially since that's a lot of spots that are, you know, protecting and protecting your internal organs and really the foundation of all your movement comes from your core. So that's something where we would address with the soccer players.
Well, but strength training is big business, and those who work with professional teams make a good chunk of change.
They're doing all right.
But it's different for every sport. So football strength training will be far different than, say, soccer or baseball.
Yeah, you're definitely going to have to bias towards some of the needs and necessities of the sports, whatever those demands are. You know, football players are going to need specific things. They're going to be more power-oriented. Not to say that they shouldn't be fit in some other capacities, but you only have so much time in a day, and especially with those types of programs, you need to be focusing on what's really going to translate well onto the field or onto their whatever aspects of performance they're going to be having to deal with. So with those types of things, that's what we focus on.
Okay, the phone lines are loading up here. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. We're talking with Caleb Nelson and Ian Hogan of Purebred Athletics in Clifton Park. And Ian, you are the massage expert, and I said it in the intro, I have no idea what it is, so you might as well tell us, what the heck is myofascial release?
All right, so myofascial release is a technique we use in massage. You're working with the fascia of the body. Oftentimes, when people describe fascia, the easiest way to think about it is if you get like a piece of chicken or something, you kind of see the skin left over on it. If our muscles, our bones, all of our other parts were gone, if your fascia was left over, you'd still kind of recognize the form of the person.
Okay.
So it's a system kind of within itself. It's getting a lot of buzz lately. They're doing a lot more studies on it. So people are talking about it. It's kind of a buzzword in massage.
And how do you release the fascia?
So with that, you're usually using more shearing techniques with massage therapy. So it could be a cross-hand release. The other analogy I use all the time is saying, if you had maybe a taut sheet at one end, that might not necessarily be where the problem is coming from. Maybe it's pulling from the other end and working that out. And when you release fascia, it kind of actually unwinds, so it can help with other parts of the body more than just what you're working on.
So you guys see this, what you both do, as counterpoint, as two parts of the whole.
Yes, we often joke that Caleb breaks them down and I build them back up.
Right, fair enough. Well, the phone lines are loaded, gentlemen. Let's go right to them. And Carrie in Plainfield, Mass., you're on first.
Hello, Ray and guest. Hey. This is going to be a great show.
Thanks.
I'm 65 years old, and for 40 years, every day I do a lot of cross training. I do about 2 to 4 hours a day. And, you know, I do cross-country skiing, canoeing, and power walking, jogging, things of that type. And but I can't work out in a gym, okay? I like to be outside where a change of scenery every day. I live in a wooded area, a lot of trails, so I see a lot of wildlife, and the scenery is always different. And I just like being out in the fresh air, and I don't care what the climate is, you know, the weather. And I just wonder, do you think it's advantageous to do your workouts outside where in a gym you're looking at the same walls every day if you do it?
Well, that's a great question, Carrie. And in my general opinion, the fact that you're doing exercise on a regular basis, that's phenomenal.
It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle, and that's really what we try to promote, kind of what we were just alluding to before, Ian's the wellness, I'm the fitness, but realistically it's all somewhere along the wellness spectrum. If that's getting you up, getting you out there and being active, that's more important, and that's allowing you to stay consistent. People get caught up on, I have to have, you know, these four walls and this X amount of weights and, you know, all these other trinkets about. I think that you're looking more at the real lifestyle aspect of it. That's more important, because at the end of the day, what you're doing inside the gym should be helping you outside in those activities that you're enjoying. Mm. I wouldn't say that it's bad for you to go, you know, maybe dip into the gym and do
some more structured stuff. On a bad day, we've had a stretch of real bad weather, I might take in the gym a little bit, but for the most part, I love being outside.
Sure, and that's with our clients specifically. That's something we like to focus on. We try not to steer towards, you know, you have to be here, you have to be there. We want to amplify, you know, the regular tasks that you do outside of there, whether it's, you know, cross country skiing or whatever it is. We use the strength training within our facility or any other facility, at least that we look at it as. It should be able to help you enjoy those activities that much more, and you know, lead to longevity.
Carrie, thanks a lot for the call. The number to call here, 1-800-348-2551. We're joined today by Ian Hogan and Caleb Nelson of Purebred Athletics in Clifton Park. We talk fitness and training, and let's go to Pamela in Troy. Hi, Pamela.
Hi, I guess my question is somewhat similar, except I'm looking for some thoughts. During the nice weather, I spent a lot of time playing outside, but this winter when it's been particularly cold, and I live in a town where nobody believes in clearing their sidewalks, so going for a walk is not an option without, you know, danger of killing yourself. Things that you can do without going to a gym, because I just will not do that. I think they are the most soul-destroying invention ever.
Wow, that's harsh.
I guess I'll take that one. That's definitely, you know,
to the gym guys.
I can completely agree with that to some extent. I know there's some gyms where you see, you can put your headphones on, you stare across the person from you, and you kind of are looking at each other awkwardly, and you're like, well, do I really want to be in here with you? I get that. I completely understand it, respect it. With that, you're going to have to do a little more self-research. I would kind of implore you to make sure you're, whatever you're going to take on, if you're going to do some body weight exercises at home, or whatever you're going to do, maybe you have a treadmill in your basement, something like that. Do some thorough education first on something really simple. You know, even if it's, you know, have a couple free weights, maybe learn how to do some air squats, some body weight squats correctly, things like that. Where we find a lot of, especially come wintertime, like you're mentioning. Those are things you want to have some basic strength to be able to work with, whether, you know, you got to shovel the snow or walk outside. I mean,
been doing plenty of that.
Haven't we all? Yeah, so that's something where you want to focus on that. If you don't have time to get in the gym, definitely do some research online. YouTube is a great, great resource. And if you really have, you know, problems, then, you know, if you find you need to reach out for some assistance, that's what they make, trainers and whatnot. But definitely do research when it comes to to that as well, if you're going to hire somebody for that.
Pamela, thanks a lot for the call. We'll take a short break. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. We talk fitness and training today with Caleb Nelson and Ian Hogan, and back with more of your calls in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Flurry Lumber, Route 10, East Hampton, Massachusetts. Providing information and advice for sprucing up current or adding new decks, from exotic hardwoods to composite decking, offering delivery, flurrylumber.com. The Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences of all ages for the Capital District and beyond, skidmore.edu/tang. And Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551, the telephone number, and we talk fitness and training today with Ian Hogan and Caleb Nelson. All right, gentlemen, here's one from email. This is from James. Greetings, I'm 27 to make 5'10", 135 pounds. I've been doing P90X, trying to eat healthier and make a whey protein shake for supplement. I've always been skinny and just like to build some muscle mass. For the most part, I'm seeing results, except my stomach still has a little fat or extra skin. Not sure. Just would like that toned up a bit more. Any tips? And that's from James.
So looking to tone up a little bit.
Well, hold it. What's P90X?
So P90X is the video.
Called a home-based DVD workout.
Yeah.
System.
Okay. So yeah. It's not a space-age chemical. This is okay.
Definitely not anything crazy. I mean, it's the rage for a lot of people right now.
Okay.
I have nothing against it. I think it's a great tool for a lot of people.
All right. So what does this guy do who's 135 pounds and he has apparently some stomach fat or extra skin?
We'd have to definitely look at the rest of his diet and his nutrition. He's saying he's taking a supplement, a whey protein supplement. Sometimes, I don't know if I've fallen victim to, and a few of our clients have fallen victim to this, like, okay, well, I'm going to take this thing with working out and it's all going to be fine. The basis of all anything with your fitness is going to come down to your nutrition. So you need to take a really basic approach with that. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's really, you know, eating a lot of whole foods, a lot of fruits, vegetables. I think people know to an extent, you know, what a decent diet is, you know, less processed foods,
right.
More raw fruits and veggies, things like that. But just having a plan, you know, starting simple, maybe eliminating some things that might be, you know, maybe some sugary drinks. You know, they always say, you know, get rid of white breads, pastas, things like that.
And you guys are on board with that?
Oh, absolutely.
And Cheetos? No?
Okay. It tastes good.
Yeah.
Okay. Definitely. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, he said it right there. Eat your vegetables.
Yeah.
Mom was right.
Okay, but 135 pounds. This guy's clearly not.
Yeah, what did he say? 5'10", 130?
Yeah.
So he's got to put on some size. That too. He's got to do some strength training. With P90X, it's more like quick intervals, not a lot of heavy weights. That's a scenario where, at least if he was to come chat with us, I would look at, okay, you're going to have to start doing some heavier lifting. Of course, on a program and progressively doing it in the appropriate fashion. But at 5'10", 135, that's, yeah, you definitely want to put on some muscle, some size there, and that's where you look at that.
All right, back to the phones we go. Ian Hogan and Caleb Nelson here. Let's go to Paul in Albany. Paul, you're on.
Good afternoon. I have a 10-year-old son who is pretty active with baseball and basketball, and recently he's been asking if he can start focusing on strength training. So my question is 10 years old too young for strength training? And if not, what could he focus on?
That's a great question.
That is, and it's something we hear a lot, especially with some of the people we work with. They're like, oh, I want to get my kid active and do some stuff with
yeah.
me. In a scenario like that, at least just the way we always handle it, is we like the parent to be present. We want them to be on board and understand exactly what's going on with the actual strength training. You want to be witness
to. But what
to.
Strength training can you do and not hurt yourself and not hurt your development when you're 10? I think that's the question.
Realistically, anything can be scaled and modified appropriately. It comes down to lowering the weights to what the child can handle. 10 years old, I've worked with kids as young as 8 years old, and we just scaled the weight way back down. And you have to focus first on getting their technique down. Then you start thinking about what their weight is. If they can't control their body in space, they can't, you know, put an empty barbell on their back, they have no business at loading weight on there.
But isn't there some danger to joints and things like that when you're still developing and you have growth plates and everything else?
It's more comes to injury from improper training.
Okay.
The actual growth of it, no. I mean, I know when I was training when I was younger, I didn't learn correctly, so I've had a couple aches and pains that don't go away right now.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It comes down to having the appropriate training, the appropriate guidance. That's really what I would focus on primarily. But 10 years old, not too young.
Paul, don't have your kid throwing a curveball yet, though.
Okay, thanks. Yeah,
thanks a lot. We appreciate it. And over to Abigail in Del Mar. Abigail, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm just calling in to say hello from Boutique Fitness, which is a new group exercise studio that's aiming to bring fun fitness classes like Zumba, as well as body exercise, body weight exercise, like you guys were talking about, making that kind of thing more accessible and affordable to the people of the Capital District. And we're actually new neighbors of WEMC right down the street on Central Ave.
Oh, well, hey, nice to meet you, Abigail. Thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to Todd in Saratoga. Todd.
Yes, hello. I have a question. I was wondering if you've heard anything legislatively or otherwise about potentially having physicians give prescriptions for exercise or for personal training, because so many of the issues with, you know, obesity, cardiac issues, diabetes are linked to that. I wonder if there's a way to incorporate it into mainstream medicine. And I would ask the same question of the massage therapist in terms of pain relief.
All right, great.
Yeah, that's a great question, Todd. So right now, currently, what typically happens for exercise or for massage, in New York State at least, there's different states that have different legislation for these things. I believe in Washington and possibly Florida as well, massage therapists can bill major medical. I know in New York State, certain companies will have stipends for preventative care. They started doing that a few years ago, and they might say, hey, we'll give you a stipend for X amount of your gym membership, or you give them a receipt and they might actually reimburse.
Or bonuses to get fit.
Yep. FlexPay, oftentimes, people don't know this, but a lot of times massage therapy is covered by FlexPay. And what I do is I give them a receipt and whatever information they need, and they can usually submit that to their insurance company and they can get reimbursement for that.
Okay. Todd, thank you.
Thanks.
Have a good day. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Charles in Dingman's Ferry, Pennsylvania. Is that correct?
That's correct. Dingman's Ferry, Pennsylvania.
You're on.
Thanks, gentlemen. My question is, I'm an older veteran in my late 40s. And I was, you know, as most veterans do, we get pretty much abused while we're in the service. But, you know, fitness is a way of lifestyle, like we said before. I wanted to get some advice on, you know, how to deal with and how to continue maintaining my strength as I get older and, you know, deal with my aching joints, my ankles, knees, hips, lower back, everything I've done.
Well, first off, thank you for your service. And definitely we've worked with a lot of veterans, a lot of coaches that I've worked with have also been veterans, so they've been pretty passionate about some of that stuff. So had quite a bit of experience dealing with it. What I've found is sometimes gearing away from doing any weight training has led to more breakdown. So we see a lot of people, they'll come in, they're like, you know, my back's hurting, my joints, my knees are hurting. I just feel like I'm on my last legs, and all of a sudden they start squatting, and albeit correctly, they start doing some overhead movements, and all of a sudden they're just like, you know what, my back doesn't hurt anymore, my legs don't hurt the same way. And it's more about mitigating the issue and controlling the pain, but we have a little saying, motion is lotion, and if you're not moving, if you're not making the efforts to actually get your body going in the right direction, it's always going to kind of be this self-fulfilling prophecy. You're stuck there. So I would definitely look into using strength training and movement almost as a healing process. And by no means can I sit here and prescribe.
But joint pain is, as you get older, all of us, it gets to be an issue.
Oh, yeah.
And I would imagine that going through basic training and everything else, you did a lot of stuff that probably you'll have to live with a long time.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's true.
I would say to that, it's more about mitigating the issue. It's not going to be the cure-all. You know, we have bumps and bruises throughout our day, and there's going to be things you run into. You can't have a fail-safe for everything. But this at least will minimize your pain, or at least control it, and you'll be able be a little more aware of it. Just that kind of control, and knowing that you really have control over that. For a lot of our clients, we've found that that's really empowering, that they know they can make a big difference depending on their mindset and then their own actions.
Yeah, and from my side of things, from the massage standpoint, a lot of times I explain to people it's not about pushing through pain, but it is kind of about exploring it and seeing, you know, always kind of experimenting to see what could possibly make it better. And that's getting advice from, obviously, medical professionals, other people that can help you with that. But, you know, never stop exploring that, because you'd be surprised what you can find sometimes in ways you wouldn't think that could actually help alleviate the pain.
Hey, Charles, thanks a lot. Are you listening on our 90.9 transmitter in Milford, Pennsylvania?
Yes, I am.
Fantastic. So nice to have you here. Let's go to Paul and Troy. Paul, you're on.
Hi. I actually trained with Caleb at CrossFit a few years ago, and so I know the program at CrossFit, and I just would like to suggest that Caleb is a phenomenal coach and extremely knowledgeable. And the thing with me, though, is I'm 61 years old. Caleb, it's Buzz. My nickname is Buzz.
I miss you, Buzz. How you been, brother?
Hey, pretty good. I'm getting
blush
old, though,
over
you
here,
know?
Man.
All
miss right. you in my life.
All right, let's carry on.
And I just, I just feel like, you know, the one thing that's hard about CrossFit is that it's, and the fact that it's, you know, so intense, I'm wondering about stuff for older people. And the reason I bring that up is because, you know, I can go to a robo gym and muddle around, but CrossFit is where you're able to actually do weight training, serious weight training. And I was in the best shape of my life when I trained with you guys. And I think a big part of that was the fact that I was able to lift safely. And the one other point I would make is, you know, a couple people have commented about not liking to work out in a gym, but the CrossFit method is so community-oriented and social in nature. Working out with other people really makes it so it's not dull or lacking spirituality, as one woman said. It's not like that at all.
Yeah, but what if you don't like the people in the gym with you? I think that's a bigger problem.
Well, then you move over to another group just a few blocks, a little bit further down. But, I mean, generally speaking, you're going to find most of the people are just awesome, the most supportive. People complain that it's competitive. those are people who've never been there before, and it's one of the warmest places I've ever been around to actually work out. But the question I have is, older guys, older people, not just guys, and weight training. That's my question, basically.
Okay.
How do we address that?
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah. So how we would address that, definitely understanding rest days, understanding limits, whereas somebody's, you know, in their early 20s, they're going to be able to push a little bit harder, and they might be able to go more days without a rest day, or they have to take less rest days throughout the week in regards to weight training. You know, you have to scale that back, and you have to think, you know, I'm not going to go 100% today. I came in, I feel a little achy. I'm going to take a little longer for a warm up. I'm gonna take it maybe 80%, 75% of what my true max is that day.
And what do you mean? True max mean the maximum amount or the maximum reps? What are we talking about?
Sure. Yeah. So let's take a squat, for instance. I load a bunch of weight on my shoulders and say my max is 300 pounds.
Okay.
Just throwing a number out there. If I'm, you know, 25, I might be able to push it. I might try to attempt a new one that day if, you know, of course, everything is working correctly. But somebody who's in their 60s or a little older, and they come in, you're like, I've been feeling a little beaten up this week, or just things aren't working all well, I might just say I'm going to keep it around 200 pounds. That's where I'm going to stay, and I'm not going to go any heavier than that. I'm going to just get up there, maybe do a couple reps there, a few more reps there. I feel warm. I feel good. I feel healthy. And then you walk away from it, and you just take a little longer for your cool down, your stretching at the end. It comes down to more the recovery aspect. That's where you're going to make your best bang for your buck there. And that's where somebody like Ian or other massage therapists or physical therapists, they come into play, and it becomes more about how well can you recover, not how hard you can train.
All right, well, let's talk about a warming up to go to do standard. You're going to the Y or whatever, and you're lifting. So, you know, when I used to go to the Y, I'd just start lifting. I mean, I didn't know you had to warm up to do that. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? What's a good way to warm up?
So with that, it depends on really what the modality you're going to be training that day. If you're going to do some strength training, definitely you're going to want to – we like to have people hop on a rower, those stationary rowers, get the blood flowing there. The legs are going to be really important for you that day. 5-10 minutes there, then do something more dynamic. We call them line drills, where you do some very dynamic stretches. It's not just sit there and hold and stretch. You want to take a good 5-10 minutes there, get your heart rate up a little bit more, feel some warmth to the joints, feel a little more pliable. You don't want to lose some of that stretchiness to it, obviously, but you definitely want to get your heart rate up. You want to be sweating a little bit, and by the time you start warming up the actual movement, right, I'll start with just an empty bar, and then I'll throw, you know, 25 pounds on each side, and you're just slowly building up towards your true working sets for that day. That way, you're properly ready. If you're going to be going out and you're going to run a, you know, 5 miles, if that's your training for the day, a little bit different. You want to get some quick dynamic drills in, and then you could probably be on your way. Maybe doing a little bit of soft tissue work, something like, you know, rolling a lacrosse ball or something like that to break up some knots. But nothing super crazy. And it really depends. What is your intensity going to be that day, and what is the actual task at hand that you need to be completing?
It doesn't seem like this is anything you could do in a short amount of time. With everyone's busy schedule, isn't there kind of an express method for this sort of thing?
Funny you mention that.
Yeah, we've been talking about that with our own current business model, but not going into that too much. We focus more on... with the methodology that's out there, you know, I've heard CrossFit's kind of a big thing right now. Higher intensity work can produce better results, in that you're trying to compress a lot of volume into a shorter period of time. You're not wasting your time kind of going from station to station and kind of lackadaisically doing things. If you go into the gym and you're committed and you're ready to get things going, try to minimize your rest. Try to play around with, okay, maybe I'm just going to take 30 seconds today or a minute today between stations, and I'm going to do that. You can get your whole workout done in 20, 35 minutes, something like that.
Yeah.
Stretching, if you're going to take any time where you're going to spend a little bit more, I would take it in your warm-up and your recovery. You can get a great workout conditioning-wise and strength-wise if you're really focused and set it up the appropriate way, 10, 15 minutes.
Wow.
So you could be in and out of your gym experience.
But is that long enough to get the cardio working for long enough to make a difference?
Yeah, it's a common misnomer. Kind of explain the the difference as far as, you know, somebody jogging on a treadmill versus like a Tabata?
Exactly. So they did some research with Dr. Izumi Tabata. There were some speed skaters in Japan. He was an exercise scientist as well as the head coach for the Japanese speed skating team.
Mm-hmm.
And he was trying to train his athletes for, well, an endurance sport. And he used this interval training. It was 20 seconds of sprinting with 10 seconds of rest afterwards, and they did it for 8 intervals. What they found was that translating that into a prolonged period of time where they're doing their endurance sport, they had better results.
Oh, be darned.
Yeah, so you do still get the cardiovascular benefits. Plus, when you're training hard, you kind of crank your heart rate up in that short interval time, you're going to have residual benefits for a longer period of time. And you do want to have the strength training in there. I can't kind of strain that enough. Done appropriately, of course, it's very important to have just a solid base of muscle so that, one, you can hold appropriate positions, especially like we keep talking about this frigid winter out there. You know, you're doing your tasks out there, you're shoveling, you're moving around, you're carrying bags of salt. You got to be able to have the base to be able to do all these things. If you don't have that, you're just putting yourself at risk for injury. Just something simple as that. It won't matter how good your cardiovascular strength is because you can't do anything anymore. So I like to focus on that and then have a very basic piece, 10, 15, 20 minutes. Get your heart rate up. If you trained your strength, your heart rate's going to be up a little bit if you train it in an appropriate fashion. And then if you have followed up with some conditioning, get your heart rate up. You're 20, 30 minutes in your gym.
But, I mean, you guys would agree, and we're talking, by the way, with Ian Hogan and Caleb Nelson of Purebred Athletics in Clifton Park, you guys would agree that after a certain age, you want to go to the doctor first and make sure you're up for this, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's you, Ian.
Absolutely. I think we always err on the side of caution. I mean, obviously, liability is a business, but really just because we care, we want people to make sure that they're doing
die.
It safe and efficiently. Yeah, don't die.
Yeah. Never kill a customer. That's
no, that's bad for business. But yeah. But essentially, if you ever have any doubts, you know, contact your doctor, contact your health provider. It's usually, if you have a good relationship, it's a quick phone call, you know, just to say, hey, I'm on these meds, or hey, I have this pathology. Is it proper for me to exercise?
All right, we're going
to
take a break here. We're joined today by Ian Hogan and Caleb Nelson. We talk fitness and training, and we'll get back to the phones. Molly and Mike, hang in there. Thanks for being so patient. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from The Whistling Kettle, featuring Tea of the Month Club's Tea Discovery, Wellness Tea, Herbal and Caffeine Free Tea, and more. TheWhistlingKettle.com for catalog and online ordering. The Wild Center, Tupper Lake, New York, open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 10 to 5, where the wild world of the Adirondacks opens before your eyes. WildCenter.org. And Stories Nursery, Freehold, featuring houseplants, seeds, and starter kits, pruning and fruit tree maintenance tools, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., closed Sundays, a gardener's destination, storiesnursery.com.
Welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. We'll get right back to the phones. We're joined today by Ian Hogan and Caleb Nelson. Here's a quick one from email. This is from Mark. What is the relationship between working out and stretching? Is there a danger if you don't stretch? And we just talked about this a little bit. How can a regular person figure out what stretches to do before a workout, and for how long should you stretch? And that's from Mark.
You want to take a stretch, or you want me to get it?
I'll start a little bit, and then you can kind of follow through with what you do. There's a lot of misnomers on stretching, a lot of, I think, contradicting research about. They talk about static stretching, which is more just kind of holding a posture for a little while, versus dynamic stretching, which is more, you know, it could be something like line drills, like Caleb was talking about, you know, doing a lighter version of what you're about to do. You know, one thing they talk about is preparing the body is obviously a good idea before you're doing an intense exercise. You know, some people on the other side of it would say, oh, your body should always be ready, but if you're waking up, you're just getting out of bed, you're going to do a workout, obviously it's a good idea to start moving your body in a kind of a slower fashion. You know, get the blood pumping, get things moving along before you start into something a little heavier. And talking about stretching after workouts, if you're working a certain part of the body and you're contracting that over and over, Obviously, it's a good idea to open that part of your body up after you're exercising, just to make sure you're elongating everything you just pretty much shortened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we usually recommend, and Caleb can get a little more into, you know, what he does on a daily basis with classes, really.
Yeah, for us, it's definitely focused, like he said, dynamic warm-up first, dynamic stretching. It's not long holds. You need some pliability. You don't want to be just super lax and loose when you're about to go under heavy weights, if that is what you're doing that day. But post-workout, that is just crucial. You're warm. Your body's loose. Let's keep it that way. You want to get some length to the muscles. I like to focus there, at least I like to focus with our clients. You know, we give them a task every week. Here's your special mobility focus for this week. So they can start to feel change by the end of the week. But it also is great for somebody to start being aware of what's your specific issues. If you don't have a ton of time, maybe your ankle is the thing that's bothering you. Take 2 to 5 minutes on just that spot. And maybe
Stretch your ankle?
It's something as simple as propping your foot up against the side of the wall, and then you pull yourself in. You feel your calf stretching out. You're going to be right as rain if you just keep doing that every day.
All right. Let's go to Molly and Ravina. Molly, thanks for hanging in there.
Oh, thanks for having me. Well, my question is, I'm 53. I've lost 80 pounds in the last year, just kind of, you know, lifestyle change, food, and moving versus plopping, which it seems silly, but it was a major step in helping me to start losing weight. I also have disc damage in my neck from an accident years ago. And I'm at this point finding that I'm sort of plateauing, and I just wanted some advice on, what would a good next step type of exercise program be for me? Right now, it's been walking. I just walk. You know, that's pretty much what I do. And it seems to have, but even walking with the moving of the arms can cause some numbness, and my muscles tighten up. So what's the next step exercise I should probably do? Swimming, gym, or is there a good connection between massage therapy and exercise?
Okay.
Me or you first, bro?
Yeah, I'll start this one off. So obviously, you know, without knowing the extremity of whatever the accident was, it's hard to say what the next step would be. Did you see a physical therapist, or did you have a slew of practitioners?
I did for a little while. This was about 5 years ago, and you know, that kind of ended after a while, and insurance issues, that sort of thing.
Sure.
So I've done a little hodgepodge, makeshift sort of putting together a physical therapy thing for myself, which of course, you know, I'm not an expert in any way. And I occasionally have gone to see different massage therapists, but I never know quite, you know, what sort of treatment I should ask for, or should I do this before exercise, after. And I had 2 herniated discs in my lower neck.
Okay. Yeah, these things are hard because oftentimes it's finding the correct practitioner. I often hear people say, like, oh, I tried massage and it didn't work for me. I tried chiropractic, or I tried a workout regimen, and maybe it's not that whole group of things. It could just be the wrong practitioner. So what I encourage is finding someone who's a little more clinically inclined, and someone who's going to kind of know the pathology that you've had. So maybe someone who works with was it a car accident, or was it a—
Yes.
So someone who works with no-fault massage. Actually, no-fault massage is usually covered in the state of New York if you're still covered with a claim with insurance.
Yeah, no, they send you to an independent medical examiner, and they say you're—
The dreaded IME.
Regardless of how much you cry in the thing. So, yes.
Yeah, we've had to deal with that a little bit. It's frustrating. But you know, I always encourage, you know, find those people that accept that, and you know that if they're accepting that hopefully they're trained enough to handle that sort of thing. Oftentimes you'll find practices where massage therapists, like we personally have a chiropractor on staff, and I know other places will have other practitioners on staff that will refer directly, and that's a great place to start. You know, going back to your PT, going to someone who can refer you out to a massage therapist that says, listen, this person knows their stuff. They've worked with they've worked with people who have been in similar accidents, things like that. That's always a great place to start. And then same thing for working out. Usually, hopefully, most practitioners will have some sort of directory where they can get you in touch with somebody that works, you know, at a gym, that might be a personal trainer that's worked with car accident victims, things like that. But always, yeah, always do your research and always call ahead. And if you can get a list of questions, you know, things like, you know, have you worked with people with my similar condition? And just like, how would you do it? Just to get numerous opinions. It never hurts to get a bunch of opinions.
Makes great sense. Molly, thanks for the call. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. We're joined by Caleb Nelson and Ian Hogan of Purebred Athletics. We talk fitness and training today. Here's one that came in via Twitter at WAMC Radio, hashtag VoxPop. What would you tell those who are intimidated by the movements in CrossFit or anything beyond a treadmill?
So that's something that we face that one a lot. You know, I'm nervous about CrossFit. It's a little intimidating. It's a little grit and gritty. With that, it comes down to a lot of things. You know, there's definitely going to be, just like there's good and bad to each profession, you want to go out there and you want to go do your research. You want to go, if you're interested in this, you want to go and meet with all the CrossFits in your area, shake hands, ask all the questions, similar to what Ian was just talking about with, you know, understanding what is their scope, who do they work with, what's their specialty, and you want to make sure that's going to line up with whatever you're doing from there. Inherently, the movements that we use in our facility, they're safe. They're basic, common movements you'll see in a lot of strength training programs. And you want to also get into understand what is their philosophy on how CrossFit is applied, because the beauty of CrossFit is with us, we can express it and train our clients in the way that we deem fit. So we know that our demographic is, let's say for us specifically, I speak to ours is more, you know, the families. We work with a lot of people that have kids you know, they want to come in and just be fit and generally happy and healthy. So that's what we cater to. If you're going to want to be more of a competitive athlete, you want to look more for that. If you want to look for more a youth sports thing, that's what you want to look for. But understanding both the philosophy behind how they train, what do they base their programming around, what does it look like, and then most importantly, you want to make sure that they're giving you an appropriate ramp-up period. You do not just jump in day one to regular classes. That's not safe. You want to have the appropriate time to get to know these movements safely, correctly, get to know the coaches and the instructors that are going to be working with you, because you want to make sure you're vibing with these people, because you basically have your health and wellness in their hands.
Yeah.
And then from there, you know, you can make a better decision if it's right for you. You know, I personally recommend, and this is the reason why we do it this way, at least a month of an introductory program is safe. You want to take the time, get the basics down first, because this is supposed to be more of a lifelong journey, at least in our opinion. You want to take that time and take as long as you need to get those things down in the beginning.
Yeah.
But you see back squats and front squats and overhead squats on the computer all the time. You'll see people doing push-ups. That's stuff that we incorporate. People get a little crazy and think that, you know, the CrossFit games on TV, that's what it's all about. It's not the case. It's all about scaling and modifying, much of what we spoke about before.
Longevity.
We have a lot of youth athletes. You know, scale the weights down for them. It's all about where you are in that scope.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Mike in Enfield, Connecticut. Mike, you're on.
Hey, thanks very much for taking my call. And Ray, I know we're low on time, but I have two really quick questions, if that's all right.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Guys, I have a question regarding rest time for ab workouts. I know for like lifting and stuff, you want to do like a day of rest in between. I have been doing the plank, and I'm wondering, should I be taking days off in between?
With that one, I would just think about training your abdominals or your core in a different fashion. So, you know, maybe did some type of flexion thing one day, the next day you're going to do something more rotational in nature. So that, training your abs, that's kind of a constant thing. Like, you get up and you walk around every day. Like, just because you want to have a rest day does not mean you don't have to get up and go to work. So, you know, doing that just within moderation. If you're feeling super sore, you know, back off a little bit. Don't go crazy with it.
Okay. All right. One more, Mike?
Yeah, it's real quick. Regarding elliptical, using the elliptical machine, I've read different things online. Some say that you're wasting your time if you do more than 20 minutes. Some say that the elliptical itself is a waste of time. What are your feelings on it? Because I can't really do the treadmill because of an ankle injury.
Personal opinion, I'm not a huge fan of the elliptical, but if it's getting you moving, I'd rather get up and make you go run or squat or do something else.
What about people who have bad knees or ankles?
Typically we see some issues with a lot of just running mechanics. People don't run correctly. Yeah. A lot of footwear issues. Ellipticals, if that's all you're going to do something, you're not doing anything. Okay. Get on the elliptical. That's fine. But if you want to take the time, you want to learn how to run correctly, there's definitely a lot of ways where you can learn how to run better. Take a look at your footwear. it's not going to be the cure-all, but there's other ways aside from that that you can get, in my opinion, some better conditioning that's more functional to your life.
Okay. Mike, thanks for hanging in there so long. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Yep. Bye. Well, I don't know. I mean, if the elliptical, if Joe average suburbanite goes to the gym and works on the elliptical, gets the heart rate up for half an hour, isn't that a good thing ultimately?
Oh, absolutely. If, like we're kind of saying, this is more lifestyle. If that's what's going to get you up and you're not doing anything but that, okay, I'm just going to stay home and eat a bag of Cheetos every day. Yeah, of course. Well, get out there and do it. Yeah, that sounds really fit, right?
Yeah, that sounds good.
12-ounce curls, but, you know, that's if that's what you're going to do, sure.
Okay.
Is it the best bang for your buck? Can you be more fit? And it's really going to be up to you what you decide at the end of the day. You have to be happy with your decision, happy with what your health and well-being is. And if you have a more defined kind of idea in mind, then you can kind of pursue the appropriate option that's going to go with it. If it's 30 minutes on the elliptical and that's all you're going to do because that's what you want to do, knock yourself out.
We haven't really talked about it, but kind of defining your goal with fitness, with health, what you're looking to do, it's two very different regimens. If you're saying, I just want to be healthy, you know, play around with my kids, versus I want to train for a sport or do these other things. So defining your goal before you go to these places and see if they're a good fit for you is really important. We always ask people when they come in, first thing we ask them, what's your goal with CrossFit or with any regimen you're doing?
Yeah.
Because now we can customize something for them. It's extremely important to find your goals, and you'll get better results.
Let's go back to the phones, and it is Sevim in Fort Plains. I hope I have your name right.
Hi there. Yes, you did. I'm a 69-year-old, very healthy person. I go to our gym 3 to 4 times a week, 30 to 35 minutes. And when weather permits, I walk about 4 miles. I had a bone density test about a month ago, and my doctor tells me that I have a osteoporosis. And he wanted me to take some medicine, but I'm against the medicine, so I want to do this in a natural way. So I checked online, and I can do some exercises that will help. So I'm going to hang up and listen. Would you recommend me some exercises?
Okay. Well, thank you, Sevim. We appreciate it. Go ahead.
Weight-bearing exercise has been shown to be very effective in helping treat osteoporosis. So basic things. It doesn't have to be anything more complex than weighted squats. Something pressing overhead and, you know, picking up weights off the ground like a deadlift. With that, I would definitely seek at least some simple introduction to that with a trainer, because you want to make sure you're doing those things safely before you go ahead and start stacking more weights on that. But absolutely, those are the three foundational movements, I would say, that at a minimum, you have to sit down in a chair, so there's a squat, and you have to put things overhead, so there's a press, and then you have to pick up things off the ground, so there's a deadlift. If you're strength training your body in those things, you're going to be able to see in your daily tasks, okay, I feel more effective and more efficient in that, and then realistically, you'll notice your quality of life is going to improve there. So to see what the density would be after that, we had a few people have come back and say, you know, my bone density tests are much better from that.
Very interesting. So you're talking strictly about free weights, right?
Yeah, free weights. We try to stay away from machines and things like that. Reason being, like, you're not going to walk outside and be strapped into a, you know, one of those kind of those guided squat machines.
But if you exercise the same muscles, what's the difference?
You're not necessarily exercising the same muscles in that you're not balancing all of that. You're not controlling that completely in space. You're working in one track.
But if you're 70, isn't it safer to start on a machine than to free weight to,
You want to guess 70?
Yeah, clean and jerk some free weight?
I'd argue that it's just safer to find somebody to guide you how to do it properly with free weights. It's one of the best investments you can make, really, is to have somebody, you know, watch you and cue you properly. That's what coaches typically do. They're gonna cue you and help you along, and make sure your form is solid. But you know, we see a lot of that where people, they think, oh, personal training is very expensive. But remember, if you start off with a very, very good foundation, you know, then you actually can take those tools with you, and you can work out more by yourself.
Okay.
And you know, you're not going to hurt yourself.
All right, one more. We only have about a minute left, and this hour has gone by amazingly fast. So we'll have to have you guys back in the future. This one's from R. Comes in via email. It seems like every gym has cardio for the lower body, but I want to look better above the waist. I'm interested in getting some cardio for my upper body. What can you recommend for upper body cardio?
This one's simple. Abs are made in the kitchen, not in the gym. With that, look at your, again, look at your nutrition. I would recommend going and talking to a nutritionist or a registered dietitian. Have them take a look at what's going on there. Explain to them your goals. If you're trying to lean out, that's going to be really important there. And cardio is just not going to be the only thing that cuts it. Again, I keep going back to this whole weight-bearing thing. You need a balance in those aspects. So it starts with that foundation. Your nutrition is going to be the thing that's going to worry about, that's going to focus on you leaning out. So take a look at that.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I got to say, Ian Hogan and Caleb Nelson of Purebred Athletics, nice job. First try, you guys did very well and seemed to have been a popular show. You never know what you'll get on Vox Pop, and it was an interesting one today, so thanks for being here. We're about out of time, and I apologize to those we left on the phone today. We'll have these guys back at a future date, and we'll do it again. Support comes from the Honest Weight Food Co-op, located at 100 Watervliet Avenue in Albany, offering local and organic produce, groceries, specialty items, and prepared foods, honestweight.coop. And Northshire Bookstore, Saratoga Springs, New York, Gabrielle Zevin presenting The Storied Life of A.J. Fickrey, I believe it is, Friday, March 6th, 7 p.m., Northshire.com. All right, that's it for the show. Thanks again to Ian Hogan and Caleb Nelson. Thanks to the very fit Zach Malloy at the controls. Your phones were answered by Bruce Herbach. Our producer, Jessica Blaustein. Marshall, I'm Ray Graff. Another exciting Vox Pop tomorrow, which I don't know what it is, but I'm sure it'll be phenomenal. Stay tuned now for a news update.